I'm really honored.
And we're back on the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast with Podcast Guy.
We are leaving the station! L Train, take us out!
Be talking to some of the fans up in the Pacific Northwest.
Lyle, thanks for having me, man.
This is the L Train. Let's leave the station.
Pretty good, darling. Pretty good.
The Bash Brothers.
Your demigod of death. Buy my shit.
Yo! We're the Voros twins.
They know me by PCO.
I've got my Chinese food and some cheesecake, and I'm gonna go pig out
to the horror show.
Freaking me out, man.
Freaking me out, yo!
Hey, yo, 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 this is the L Train, and thanks so much for tuning in to this week's podcast, episode 163, man. It's just a lazy Sunday as I do this opening. Just started an Instapot, making some chili. It's my grandmother's old recipe, you know. Nothing fancy to it, just, you know, some good chili that I've been eating on and loving since I was a kid. And got a couple, or maybe even more than a couple, Fremont Lush IPAs to help wash that down. And other than that, and finishing up this podcast, I ain't got nothing else to do on this Sunday, man. And just getting ready to chill the hell out. Hey, thanks to everyone who checked out last week's podcast. There was two. You got two for the price of one, man. First, you got Tyson Dukes, who he portrayed Chris Benoit on the season opener of Dark Side of the Ring this year. Really enjoyed chatting with him. And then also State of Emergency this last Thursday was a bonus episode. Talked a bunch of wrestling, TV shows, and also got into Bagamania. And, dude, don't forget to check out Bagamania 4 this next Saturday. I think it's the 23rd. So don't forget, go follow Sebastian and Miles on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and get more info about when that's going to drop. But, dude, that was a really fun show. Thanks for everyone. I got some good feedback on those. And anyway, let's get to this week's show. I ain't got a whole lot to say about much anything else. So, dude, let's get to it. A great conversation I just did with the Bash Brothers, Dave Turner and Chris Ross. It was a wonderful talk about being quarantined and what they you know, are doing to help promote their new tag team, their brand, if you will, the Bash Brothers. Man, they're doing all kinds of stuff. We get into their merch, their Facebook page, which has about 650 followers or so last time I checked, maybe more now. And they're doing things on Twitch. I watched a thing on there last night. They got the Bash Brothers on the I guess the WWE video game, the latest one. And watched Dave and Chris take on the Hardy Brothers. That was a lot of fun. They're doing stuff on YouTube also, and they also get into the importance of the content they are putting out right now just to keep, you know, keep rolling, so when matches happen again, they're just going to hit, you know, ground running, set, ready to go. We also talk Without a Cause. The watch-alongs are recently having. Those are a lot of fun to check out on Twitch every Saturday. I think the next one's this coming Saturday, the 23rd, and I think it's going to be at 2 p.m. Start time. But check out With a Cause or follow Max on their social media. Dude, I hope everyone enjoys the show, and appreciate it so much, everyone tuning in each and every week and checking out these shows. You can follow me. I'm the L Train at BFPW Podcast, BFPW Podcast over there on Twitter. You can also email me if you have any comments or questions, bfpwpodcast@gmail.com. Dude, you can listen to this show over on the Pro Wrestling Network, on SoundCloud, and then also on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, probably some other stuff like that. And also, you can check out the website if you want to listen there, bigfootprowrestling.com. Dude, I am the L Train. Thanks for listening, and let's leave the station. Hey, the L Train here. We're back for another great one this week. We got probably the most popular tag team in the Northwest that haven't even wrestled a match yet together. But we got the one and only Dave Turner, Chris Ross. They are together, the Bash Brothers, man. How's it going, guys?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Just chilling here on this Sunday morning. Chris, you still there?
Yeah, buddy. Just waiting for Dave to say his bit.
Oh, you're so polite.
I'm the politest boy in the world.
You are.
Damn, you guys love each other.
We do.
Yeah, we're best friends.
I just saw him like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, literally. I went 100 miles on the freeway just to make sure I was home in time for this.
You guys going to be social distancing?
More or less.
Hard to say.
Oh, man. But, guys, thanks so much for coming on here. We're recording this on a Sunday morning in the morning, man. I got my coffee here, just chilling. And thank you guys for coming on. So, dude, what's been going on, man? Like, you know, with all this quarantine, what have you guys been doing to kind of stay busy, doing any kind of training and all that kind of stuff? And
unfortunately, it's been really tough. Training's been hard because everything is closed and our ring is in just a really tight space, so we can't really get in there and move around too much. And then otherwise, we're just trying to figure out new ways to make ourselves relevant. Thinking about doing a podcast of some sort, or even maybe a YouTube show that's more of skits based than really wrestling, but, you know, diversify.
That's it. Just diversify the brand. I think for Chris and I, our big objective right now is to establish ourselves as much of a brand as we are a tag team. So we don't want people to just look at the Bash Brothers and go, oh, this is just two guys who wrestle. We want to be, oh, there's his face.
I got my camera to work.
Perfect.
We want to be more than just two guys who wrestle. We want to be a whole multimedia conglomerate type of deal where we've got our hands in lots of different cookie jars.
Well, man, you know, just, you know, I don't know how long you guys have been. It's a couple, 3 months now you had the Bash Brother things put together.
Yeah, we, I want to say by like late January, early February, we had really started piecing this together. And we were going to, I was telling Dave before we got too far into this, I'm like, hey, when we start off, I want to start off hot. I want shirt designs. I want like almost to set up our brand before the brand even existed so that when we're live, we're like already going. Like it never, like we'd been doing this for years. And, we had a big debut match set up for ourselves, and then, yeah, COVID.
And it all kicked in. That match was against Effie and Danhausen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct. It was. Yep. But,
Without a Cause, I don't remember the show name. Where are you going? What was the show?
Without a Cause, Housen.
That's right.
Yeah.
You think I'd remember that, who I just said. <that. laughs> By the way, Chris, you're clean shaven there, man. I haven't seen that. Usually I see you got the beard, the mustache going.
Well, I'm one of the few people who actually acquired a job in this off time, and they require a certain dress code, but there's a loophole. I'm going to sign up for that and get my beard back.
His face looks so naked. It's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's scary.
When your face first came on the screen there, I was like, that's not Chris. Who's sitting there? And I was like, oh, it is him.
Yeah, I think that every day I see him.
But anyway, talking about your brand and want to get it kicking off, just run and start. Man, you guys, the Pro Wrestling Tee Shop you guys set up, you guys got so many designs. There's so many different colors, man. It's so great. I wish I had my – I only have a black sheep shirt on right now because I couldn't find my my purple Bash Brothers. I think it's in the wash probably. But, man, your thoughts on that Pro Wrestling Tee site, your artwork, any of the artists you want to put over?
Yeah, we want to give everybody a chance to get their work out there as much as they can. And like Chris was saying, that was part of our deal when we started this team, was to have a complete package ready to go. So we were a unit, more or less. It looked as though we wanted it to look like this thing has been running like a well-oiled machine from day one. And so our concept was to reach out to guys like Jeremy Tate, James Vanderbeek on Twitter, Brian Myers, one of the Without a Cause fans. We've had Avalon do some designs for us. We've had Zilla do some designs for us. So we want to give everybody an opportunity to get some stuff out there. And we want to create enough merchandise ideas to keep people interested and obviously keep them buying stuff, right? Because that's the goal. But we're not a one-trick pony. I mean, there's so many wrestlers out there who just sell only t-shirts or just sell 8x10s. And that's great, but people want more. The public wants more stuff. They want to support you in as many different ways as they can. So our goal was, all right, let's start this thing off and we'll have 12 shirt designs ready. We'll have different merchandising opportunities, different ways to develop our brand and to keep ourselves in the public attention. And I think with this COVID happening when it did, I think we really, having this plan in effect before the pandemic even happened, really kind of made us stay relevant during the pandemic, because we just constantly had stuff coming out.
You guys got, like you said, more than shirts. I mean, there's like hoodies over there. I mean, now there's like, what, face masks, and you guys got some other stuff. I just saw in a
fanny packs post yesterday.
Fanny packs are coming. I saw a tweet about that.
We've got fanny packs coming. We've got cozies. We've got pins now, stickers, cell phone cases, hoodies, the whole nine yards.
So you guys got your full merch shop, man. Everything there. That's awesome. And those pride pins, are those coming soon?
Those are coming soon. Yep.
Excellent. I can't wait for the cozies too. The one I had from another wrestling company finally wore out, so I need a new one.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. And you'll have four different colors to choose from.
Nice, nice.
And collect all four. Make a set.
There you go. It'll go up here on my little area up there. I got all my little wrestling figures and all the crap up there. So I'll have to get up, put a can on each one, just have it sitting up there.
There you go. Perfect.
How are those face masks selling? Pretty good.
Those face masks are hard because the company that distributes them, the minute they go up, they sell out within an hour. Wow. I think I'd made a post and said, oh, they're available right now. And then an hour or two later, somebody had commented on the post and said, they're out of stock. So, and I checked yesterday morning. I was like, well, maybe I'll buy a few Bash Brothers masks. And I checked in the morning, and then I just kind of got around to my day. And then when I went to check again, they were out of stock again. So it's one of those things where you kind of got to keep your eye on. Otherwise, they're here and they're gone as soon as you blink.
Freaking hot commodity, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way the world's going now, right? Everybody's got to have a face mask on. And
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't culturally evolve into how Japan is, where everybody has their face masks on if they have a cold or, you know, any kind of illness. And now it's going to be just like a great marketing tool for a lot of businesses to sell their own brand of face masks. And I'm just happy we're on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, it'll be great when we ever, you know, whenever we do get back to a live show, you know, up the VFW hall up there. But everyone can have like their own favorite wrestler's mask and or face mask and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, their favorite wrestler mask should be the Bash Brothers mask.
Well, that's what I would say. But, you know, some people may disagree.
I find that hard to believe. Our Facebook group has almost 700 people.
You know, I was just going to say, you got this almost 700 people, your Facebook thing you started. You had a little tournament in the beginning to name the fans of the Bash Brothers. And, man, that was really, really a lot of fun. I was hoping for the Bash Holios. It didn't work out. But, you know, I do like the Bash Holes.
You know, that's been part of our thing, too, is Chris and I have just wanted people to be engaged. Like, this is – the Bash Brothers is more than just Chris and Dave. It's a movement, really. And, you know, got to a point where that group got so big so fast. I mean, people were asking to follow the group, and I was getting a notification, and then the minute I got the notification, I'd go check it, and Chris had already approved it. Like, people were just coming in and in and in faster than we could keep up. And it became a thing where it's like, okay, well, how do we want people to feel like they're part of something. This isn't just our thing. I can't just go on and say, okay, Bash Holios, this is what your guys' name is now. We wanted people to have that option to choose. What do you want to be called? What do you want to be referred to as?
Yeah. The engagement of the fans is really key, especially now that there's nothing to engage them with live, like at a show. We can't interact with people anymore in that sense. So like when Max started doing these watch-alongs for WAC and we jumped on, I thought, wow, this is a genius idea, because the fans can ask questions and they're involved in the shows more than they were before. As just a fan, they can ask their own questions about, hey, tell me a story about this event, or, you know. And then I started noticing it as, oh, wow, fan engagement is so underutilized in so many different companies and so many different areas. If we can just capitalize on this, I think it'll really help us out in the long run.
Well, as a fan of your guys' in wrestling in general, just, man, it's been a lot of fun on there. You know, the banter that goes back and forth, you know, the fun we all had with the tournament for the names. And so it's like, it's just genius the way you guys are, you know, you haven't been able to have that match yet, but you're just doing all these different things. And, man, it's just growing and growing for you, man. You guys are doing all the right steps, and it's fun to watch.
That's, I think, the nice thing about Chris and I is we've been doing this so long, and I think he and I both look at wrestling way different than the vast majority of people in this area, and maybe even, dare I say, the United States as a whole. We've just got a different outlook on what this business is, and for us to both kind of be on the same page and to bring our own individual experiences and conversations we've had. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Darby Allin is Chris Ross's best friend, next to me.
I was about to say, but anyway, sorry.
And but I mean, we've got the luxury of having so many different opinions of people who've been successful, and to be able to bring that to this team has been really helpful in creating our own success, because it's more than just wrestling. What we do in the ring is a very small part of what wrestling means to anybody anymore. So, and the fact that we both know that's been super helpful in establishing this brand.
Well, tell us about those vignettes you guys been filming, man. That first one you guys did when you were standing across the street, and, you know, how much time and thought went into that before you guys did it? Or was it just like, all right, let's just try this and go do it? Or, you know, tell us about the vignettes.
We had planned the vignettes for a little bit because we figured, on the surface, you know, we can't have our tag match anymore because of COVID. So we're just thinking to ourselves, like, how do we establish us as a team before we had like a, we didn't have a feud necessarily, but we've wrestled each other, and we just were thinking of ways to like establish us as a team, so that when we got together, it didn't feel kind of thrown together. It felt like if you cared about us enough individually that you'd see this content and go, oh man, this is funny. This is good. I see how they became a team, and now I'm invested in them as a group instead of just individuals. We'd planned to do it for quite a while. I think we wanted to get as many videos up as we could, obviously not knowing how long this pandemic, you know, quarantine was going to last. Kind of shot too many things at once, I guess, but the content's key. Just keep people engaged. That's what we were thinking.
Yep, pretty much. I mean, Chris is right. We had, I don't know, what would you say, like probably six different vignettes that we shot. And, you know, at that time, it was, okay, well, this is probably just going to be a couple weeks. We were still planning on wrestling in March. So it's like, let's just throw all this stuff out there. We'll do one every couple of days or whatever. And this is, you know, it's May now, middle of May, that we're looking at. So it's been, you know, we can't keep doing vignettes based around wrestling because there's no wrestling right now. So there's nothing to build to. So now we've got to figure out different ways to create a different type of content, which, you know, Chris and I talk every single day. We sat here for probably an hour or more talking about different content ideas today and how to get that ball rolling in that respect. So,
man, it's great. And I was up late last night, and I flipped on the Twitch channel, man, and I saw this great match. It was the Bash Brothers taking on the Hardy Boys, and that was a lot of fun to watch, seeing you guys with the gear on and everything, and, you know, hearing Dave talk while you're doing the game was kind of fun, too.
Yeah, that's been part of our thing, is that's all part of keeping the fans engaged. You know, we've got our Twitch channel now. We've got content that'll be coming out on YouTube. We've got content that'll be coming out on podcasting and things like that. It's just different ways to keep our audience following us, to keep people entertained. Because right now, I mean, this whole pandemic has just really kind of got everybody down in the ruts, right? So, you know, what can we do to just help lift people's spirits for a little bit, in addition to keeping our name top of mind for people? You know, again, going back to, we know so many people in this business, you know, and we've got so many friends and followers around the world in this business. It's like, you know, maybe they see what we're doing and it takes off and goes somewhere. We don't know. The objective really is too big to be quantified. So it's just keep making stuff and keep people engaged and happy and entertained. And, you know, whatever happens, happens with it. So,
man, so what are your thoughts on some of the other tag teams that you guys would really like to get into the ring with right away when this pandemic ends, or, you know, at least kind of clears up a little bit so we can have some wrestling shows?
Well, I mean, there's
pretty wide question there, but
yeah, there's a whole lot of tag teams we could face. Honestly, the reason Chris and I had always kind of talked about forming a team, and the timing was just never right. I had that monster black sheep character going, and Chris had a cool dad and daddy's money and things that he had his hands in, and the timing just wasn't ever right. And we finally got to a point. Actually, it was Kevin Koo, right, Chris?
Yeah, Kevin Koo said that. I think he made a tweet that said, there's not that many traveling tag teams out there, and I think there's a big market for it.
Yeah, and Chris and I, at the time that he made the tweet, we had developed this plan where, okay, well, we're going to get out and we're just going to travel around with each other. You know, in our brain, it was, if we bring ourselves out to some other company in the Midwest or the East Coast, it's easy to book two guys who know each other in a opening match and just see what they can do. And when he put out that tweet, it was like, maybe we're not just two guys who face each other. Maybe we just pull the trigger on this tag team. And I think we actually came up with the idea on the flight to Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, we were going out to Black Label.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, was that, you guys were in that, was it the Battle Royal or whatever there?
Yeah, the greatest Battle Royal.
Greatest Battle Royal.
So, and I think, you know, when you ask what tag teams we'd want to face, I mean, obviously one of those for us would be Violence is Forever. Kevin Koo being kind of the guy who kickstarted this whole idea for us. It'd be cool to get in and work with them. Gaitanic Panic, obviously, because that was a match I think we were both looking for. Chris and I are such wild personalities in our own right that I think working with Effie and Danhausen would probably just be lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, probably. It would be a lot of shtick, a lot of just, I don't know, it'd be working, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of tag teams. There's Corned Beef out in the Midwest of Manders and Gnarls Garvin. There's so many tag teams that we could work well with. It's just finding the right pairing, really. And I think probably anything's the right pairing, but it's what's going to look the best on every scale of entertainment that we can provide, wrestling and the shtick and everything. So.
Well, I think it's smart for you guys to kind of get together and see if, you know, you can take this tag team, you know, far as you can, you know, get out there and, like you said, in the Midwest and some of the other promotions. It seems, I don't know, they haven't really got that far yet, but it seems the traveling tag team works pretty good for 4 minutes of heat, you know. They've been up and down the West Coast now doing really good. And so, man, I think it's great, and I can't wait to see what happens for you coming here in the future, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, this pandemic is killing me. I mean,
yeah,
we had so many things, so many irons in the fire, like looking forward to just getting some matches under our belt to have to send to other people so they get a feel for what we are and what we can do. And everything's just been put on hold, and it's kind of a bummer, honestly.
Yeah, it's I think for Chris and I, we look at it and it's weird maybe, and maybe a little difficult to sell a tag team of two guys who've never wrestled as a team before. But I think the beauty of Chris and I is that we're both, like I said, just wild personalities in general. And we both know that we're good wrestlers. I don't think our shtick is ever going to be the constant tag ins and tags outs and being, you know, the Rock and Roll Express or anything like that. Our shtick is going to be two guys who are good workers on their own, who like to throw people around, beat people up, and also just have fun and party. Like that's it for us. So the opportunity to get out, it's more of what we do to keep the fans engaged and wanting us to come back than it is being this fantastic tag team of excellent work rate.
Well, yeah, we'll never be. I mean, if you look at some of the best tag teams in the world, right? You have like the Young Bucks, you have Lucha Bros, you have the Rascals. These guys are very athletic. They're very fast paced. And let's be honest, Dave and I can't hit a 450 or, you know, we're not going to do some of the stuff that you see these guys do. But, you know, there's some room for the Road Warriors, you know, but everything is the Rockers and Rock and Roll Express. Where's the, you know, where are the Bash Brothers? Where are the Road Warriors at? Those big guys that can do some heavy hitting stuff.
Yep. And that was, you know, that was the other important thing to us is that if we were going to do this, when we hit the ground running, you know, not just in regards to our merchandise and everything like that, we wanted to have everything ready, matching gear, matching entrance attire. Like, we've got a whole package put together that people haven't even had the opportunity to see yet, just because of the unfortunate circumstances of the world that we live in now. So when we do finally get to get in the ring with each other and against other people, I mean, you're not just going to see two guys who just thought one day, oh, you know, it'd be a good idea. Like, we've put legitimate thought and effort into this whole package. It's not anything that we just threw together on a whim because, well, we've got these two guys, so let's just put them together as a team.
Well, I look forward to it because, like Chris was saying, man, I miss kind of the big, brutal kind of tag teams come in there and just, you know, throw your weight around, throw your muscle around, beat the hell out of some guys and pin them and move on, man. You know, we miss that in the Road Warriors, Powers of Pain, Demolition, some of those big kind of, you know, just come in and kick ass kind of tag teams. Those were always my favorite kind of tag teams. I loved Rock and Roll at Midnight and because they were just the
they're very fun to watch. So you can't amazing, not like right? them.
Especially Midnight. I think I like them more than Rock and Roll, but man, dude, I cannot wait to see some of that shit. Just come in and beat the hell out of people, man.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very interesting because, like I was telling Chris last night, when we came up with this idea, we had this vision of what we were, and it's just kind of evolved into a vision of what we are now. You know, our first logo was the skull in the center of the ring, right? Which, you know, by its own rights is a really cool logo, but now we've kind of evolved over time into this wacky, very colorful, kind of a party boy type of gimmick. But we're still two big bust-ass dudes who we can wear the skull on our jackets and our t-shirts and stuff, and it makes sense still because we're just going to fuck people up. But we're going to fuck them up, and then we're going to have fun and party afterwards. So, hell, we might even party during it.
There you go. Crack a few, you know, White Claws or Trulies or whatever, or some Coors Lights, yeah. Or just start
pounding. Oh, those Trulies are kind of gross, but
yeah, Trulies suck. I don't know what the hell I did buying those.
Weren't you guys drinking those in that vignette, right? The Trulies?
Yeah. Well, wanted to be different, but it was terrible. I regret it.
Yeah, that's
give me Rona all day.
Yeah, you got to try that. The other ones are better.
I'm going to drink anything that has alcohol in it. So if you put it in front of me, I'm going to drink it, and I'll probably drink all of them. But I might not like it.
Oh, so you think they'll let the Bash Brothers have a beer bash in the VFW hall?
Oh, I think 100%, yeah. I think we're going to get Don, so the old guy who runs the VFW, to come in and party with us.
Oh, is he the guy that comes out and holds the flag? Right? He's the guy that comes out and holds the flag, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, for the Pledge of Allegiance. Guys, hold that thought. First, I've got to tell everyone about the greatest nachos going on the planet today, second to none. And these are the folks over at Nacho Mama's food truck, Chris and Sandra, NachoMamasSeattle.com. Check out the website for their entire menu, the specials, and where they're going to be in upcoming weeks. Let me tell you what they're serving up hot and fresh this week for specials. Sideways nachos, cheddar cheese sauce, wine braised pork, black garlic aioli, sweet bell peppers, and pickled red onions. Oh, man. Mojito, salsa verde, and chips. Blueberry, agua fresca. And then for that sweet tooth, man, smoke and whiskey brownies, man. Let me tell you where they're going to be. Starting this Wednesday in Redmond, 4 to 7 p.m., Black Raven Brewing. And then Thursday, they're going to be in a neighborhood Maple Valley neighborhood at 279th Street Park from 5 to 7 p.m. And then Friday, one of my favorite places in Snoqualmie, No Boat Brewing, 4 to 8 p.m. And then Saturday, the 23rd, Carn Brewing in Kenmore from 4 to 7 p.m. Man, if you haven't tried these, you know, last week, Max told us how great they were. I've been telling you how great they were. Producer Rob told you how great they were. Other people have told you how great they were. Go check it out for yourself. Like I said, NachoMamasSeattle.com. Follow them on Twitter at NachoMamasSEA. Instagram and Facebook, NachoMamasSeattle. Hashtag Nachos and Beer. Chose to go. Dude, let's talk a little WAC for just a second, man. You know, it was really fun, those WAC watch-alongs. I think last night was the first time all three of you were on there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then you guys had a couple guests on there too, man. So this weekly thing has been really fun, kind of tuning in, something for the fans to do, something for you guys to do, you know, and just all get together, you know, since we can't be together at VFW Hall or other wrestling shows. It's really been a lot of fun, man. What are your thoughts on those watch-alongs?
I like them. Initially, I was kind of wary about it because it's just kind of weird and different. And I watched the first one Max did by himself solo, and I was like, oh, man, this is really cool. The fans are asking questions. Max gets to answer them. I didn't really think of the interaction aspect of it all. And so when we started doing, I believe the next month, I joined in with Max, and I was like, dude, this is really fun. We got to keep doing this at all costs. Like, post-pandemic, when we're running shows, I want to keep running these videos of our more recent content just so, I don't know, just to keep it going because it's too fun not to do.
It was something that Chris and Max were doing every single week, and it was, like, it sounded fun, and they'd always get on our chat and talk about how great that week was and things like that. And I would always have something else that would come up, whether it's taking a nap or whatever. And
I just don't think Dave realized how fun they were, because I was kind of just like, well, Max is doing a thing. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. But once I saw it, I was like, damn, this is really fun. I got to jump in on this. I don't think Dave actually had the time to ever just kind of watch one until I think it was last week's. And then he was like, oh shit, I got to get on this.
Yeah. It was last week's. I was actually creating the move set for Chris and I in WWE 2K20. And I sent Chris a message, hey, what's your other finisher? I forgot. And he didn't message me back. Then I sent it to Chris and Max. Neither one of them responded. I'm like, well, fuck these guys. I'm going to hop on this Twitch chat. So I asked them there, and I'm like, oh, man, this is actually kind of fun, like just sitting and chatting with people. So after that was over, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to be on next week, guys. Like, that was fun.
See, it's kind of growing and growing with a bunch of followers on there each week. You can, like you said, you can ask questions. You know, we can sit there and type and give you guys shit, make fun of stuff. And it's just been a blast. And, you know, for all the people that have been on there, all people I have been hanging out with at the WAC shows and other shows. So, man, it's like a family just hanging out together.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's, something I realized, I think, just a couple weeks ago, too, is WAC is just kind of more than wrestling. We're like a real community. And people say that a lot about, oh, you know, we're a movement or we're a community. But like WAC, I feel, is like a family. Everybody's welcomed in. Everybody says their opinions. And we listen to the fans as much as possible. And, you know, we try to interact with them. So it's not just like, hey, we're a business and we don't really care about what you're saying. I feel like we actively try to get everybody invested as much as possible, which personally, I think is very rare.
Well, it's like what's really fun about the WAC shows, because you guys, you know, some of you are already hanging out before the show starts, and then, you know, the break comes and most of you guys come out, you know, and are interacting, selling merch, taking pictures. You know, I think a couple of the shows, you know, Chris Bay's match was before the break, and then afterwards he was just kind of hanging out, eating a hot dog over in the bar area, just talking to people, taking pictures. So from fans' perspective, it's just so much fun going to these shows. You know, you get to hang out, talk to you guys. You see the same wrestling fans there each and every week, a few new people each week. You know, someone tells a friend and brings that person too, or, you know, give someone a pair of free tickets, GA tickets, and get them up there. And so, man, it's just a blast, man. What do you guys think of the growth in WAC in these first couple years, man, from start to, well, a few months ago when all this kind of stopped? But yeah, man, it seems like it's come a long, long ways.
Yeah, our first three shows, I mean, just for production value and stuff, when we were at Normana, there's a lot of hiccups there. You know, it's too bright, too low ceiling. We had the kind of janky cameras to start off with. We just didn't really know what we were doing, right? So you could really see that in the audience where our first show was okay. There's enough people there. A lot of free tickets just to get people in the door to see it. November, which is just lost. I mean, just no footage or anything of it. I think there might be a highlight reel somewhere.
Oh.
But that was, I mean, abysmal, terrible, low, like 50 people or less. It was just one of the worst shows we've ever ran. Mm. And then from that point on, we just tried to do bigger and better things. And slowly but surely, you know, especially once we switched to VFW with the nice neon light on the ceiling and more room to move, attendance has been going up gradually. Obviously, November is always going to be probably a bad month for us just because of Thanksgiving and too close to the holidays. But other than just November at the VFW, we've been, you know, seeing a lot of progress and people showing up, you know, up 150 to 190 people a show.
I think there was not a lot of people know, but there was a real point where we had a conversation before we moved buildings about not running anymore. I think we were looking at June as being our last show. We were just going to finish it out because, you know, Normana was, they were kind enough to let us in their building and use it. And they were good to us while we were there. Just, it didn't fit the vibe. The aesthetic wasn't good. I mean, even Darby had told Chris, I don't want to come back and wrestle there. Like, it just sucks the soul out of me. Just the way the whole vibe was of the building, which, you know, I look at it and I can totally understand why. And I had been out kind of piddle farting around and I went to a couple of different venues and some guy said, well, you know, the VFW hall next door holds MMA shows. And I stopped in and I talked to them and the building was beautiful and the deal was too good to pass up. And we were really able to step up our production value and be more of a bigger independent, because there's like different tiers of independent wrestling, right? Like you've got your super indies like Defy and PWG and PCW Ultra, and then you've got prestiges in that category as well. And then you've got, you know, the middle tier that are really good, consistent companies that bring in good talent like Black Label and Freelance and things like that. And it's by the boys, for the boys. And then you've got the lower level ones, you know, some of them are around here that people go to, and you know, it's not a knock on them, but we wanted to be in the top of that conversation. You know, we know that financially we can't compete with PCW or Defy, and really we shouldn't have to, and there's no reason to. They've got their niche in the market and we're going to create ours. We just want to be in the conversation of those top middle tier companies with the Black Labels, with the Freelance, you know, with the Fest Wrestling, all these different places that are churning out high quality content with high quality wrestling and good production value. And once we moved, what was it, September that we had Ethan Page on?
Yeah, Darby, September. Ego.
Darby just happened to be in town and he was like, I want to come and do this run in and save Ethan and be involved in that. And that's when I told Chris, I'm like, okay, well, we're onto something here with this building, because Darby did not want to come back. Mm-hmm. He was adamant, I do not want to come back. And when he said, I'll come back, it's like, okay, well, Darby's for me has always kind of been the measuring stick. Like, if Darby likes it, then we're doing good. And for him to say he wanted to come back, it's like, okay, we're on the right path. We still got a lot of kinks that we need to work out and things that we need to change, but we're on the right path at least now.
Well, that Darby run-in was phenomenal. I was at that show, and man, no one expected that. No one saw it coming. I think I saw his head pop out just a little bit through the thing, and then he came running out. But that was a freaking blast. And you guys have been getting some really great names. You know, Hammerstone has come back a couple, three times now. It's been, you know, Chris Bay, your champion, man. He's big time on the indie scene. You know, like I said, Ethan Page, you brought him. That was a fun match, him and Miggs and the belts and all that kind of stuff, man. So it just seems like, you know, just keeps getting better and better. And the VFW Hall, I really love it in there. That Hammerstone Bay match, I thought that thing was coming down, though, man. His foot was so close to that.
Hammerstone and the roof of that building are mortal enemies. TJP and that superplex, his foot was inches away from hitting that neon light. I saw Max sweating that show.
The funny thing is, if we take out that neon light, we're done. WAC is no longer company.
Yeah, because Don will shoot us with a gun.
Yeah.
Dead.
That is the only neon light in the entire United States like that VFWs.
Well, it makes the place like really unique venue there. And I like, you know, the bars off to the side there, and just looks, and it looks really good on the videos, man. When you watch it back on IWTV, looks great. The sound has been great, you know, so just looking forward to getting some more of them shows here at some point in the VFW hall.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh man. Yeah. So just some other stuff, man. Did you guys hear this crap from Tom Segura?
Yes. Yeah,
we did.
I just listened to it last night for the first time because I wasn't really giving two shits about it. But then people keep talking about it, so I listened to it, and I thought it was a really sucky thing to say. What are your guys' thoughts?
He called out the Bash Brothers.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Jeez, that's what Dave got out of it, Bash Brothers. Yeah. I feel like there's a – what he's saying I feel is very generalized. I don't really think wrestling fans believe it's real. I don't think – like, that's just the most absurd thing I've ever heard. It's 2020. I think we all know. And I think for the very few that don't realize it's real, just – I mean, whatever. It is what it is. I mean, there's some people that take wrestling very seriously, which I don't understand necessarily. I mean, wrestling is such a vague genre. I know it's called wrestling, but, I mean, it hasn't been – like pure wrestling since the 70s. I mean, pageantry, Gorgeous George. You look at Gorgeous George coming out in a robe and his hair frou-froued up in 1940, and you're going to say that's real wrestling? Come on, man. Grow up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the man's entitled to his own opinion, and honestly, it was probably a bit, because I think he's got to be a wrestling fan. Like, he was rattling off names of things. People who don't follow wrestling don't know the names of the TV shows that are out there right now. So it was likely just a bit. I think, you know, the biggest detriment to that whole bit was the language that he used in it. That really set a lot of people off. You know, I mean, like I said, he's entitled to his opinion. He can think whatever he wants about wrestling. And 30, 40 years ago, would his opinion have been spot on? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not anymore. Just like 30, 40 years ago, he probably gotten away with the language that he was using, but he can't anymore. So, you know, it's generalize it however you want, but be respectful in the way that you do it. Because the reality is, this day and age, most everybody's smart to what the business is. And if you look at just Hollywood, a lot of people who are very successful in Hollywood gravitate towards wrestling because it's fun, pure entertainment. It's, you know what you're going to get when you turn on a wrestling show. We're not trying to be something that we're not. And we're not going to go out there and jump off cliffs and hang from a helicopter. That's just not what it is.
Rey Mysterio got thrown off a building in theory.
Well, sure, but that's there's an argument out there that right now everything that's happening in WWE is non-canon. So,
you know, speaking of these live empty arena shows, you know, I watched a little bit of it. I don't know. It seems like AEW seems to do it a little better than WWE, and I'm not taking a shot at WWE for anything. It's just when I watch the Raw and the SmackDown, it just comes off a little, I don't know, blah for me, but when I watch AEW and they got some of the wrestlers around the ring and they're making kind of some noise and stuff, just seems to come off a little better.
It's a twofold problem, I think, for WWE. First thing AEW is doing better than them is they're bringing their talent around the ring to make any kind of noise, so it just seems like there's a crowd. And clearly you can see there's not that many people there, but just having any kind of noise, clapping, interaction makes it feel better. And alternatively, on WWE side, since there's nobody out there, you know, you get a lot of weird things you wouldn't get normally. Like, the wrestlers are talking like shit to each other really loudly, like, kind of, it's weirdly off-putting to me, you know. And also they're bringing guys in that we all know would never be brought up at this time. There's just a lot of people on the shows that were in NXT that are now on Raw and SmackDown because they're in Florida. They are conveniently already under contract and it's just easy for them to be there. So it's like, we're getting a show because they're, you know, advertisers are owed a show to put on their television sets. And then we're just getting these talents that are just like random NXT guys brought up because, well, what else do we have to do? We have nobody else. What are we going to do?
And I think with WWE, it's, you know, they can't go back now and put their workers around the audience. They're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't, because AEW was the first to market with that concept. So now if you see a bunch of the contracted talent sitting around the ringside on Raw, now it just looks like they're copying AEW. And Vince isn't going to want that at all. And, you know, it's, I look at what WWE is producing for with these empty arena shows as, yeah, they're weird. And it seems to be a little off-putting, but when you look at the way that everybody comes out and they hit the hard cam and they hit their pose, like they're not producing these shows with the intent of let's run these back in 20 years and talk about how great the empty arena shows were. These are for highlight videos. Let's get this glamour shot. Let's get this pose. Let's get this move. Because if you look at a highlight reel, how often do you see an audience interaction in there? You really don't. You see the move, you see the clip, you see the glamour shot. That's, to me, looking at it, that's why they're sticking with the format that they are. Let's just keep doing the status quo. So when we make these highlight videos and put these packages together, we've got quality content, regardless of the fact that we didn't have an audience. You can always pipe in crowd volume later on these highlight packages.
SmackDown so, special.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Money in the Bank thing where they did the thing on the roof and all that? I didn't see any of it, but
I watched bits and pieces of it. It was interesting, you know, having, they did a lot of things differently. These, I don't know, cinematic matches, if you want to call them that. I honestly think they'll continue going forward with fans or no fans. I don't necessarily know how it's going to play out, but they have a formula to it. You know, they had the men and the women start off the Money in the Bank together. The interactions throughout the building, and they worked their way from, you know, the lobby to the roof, I guess, of Titan Towers. Daniel Bryan and, oh man, who was it? Daniel Bryan, somebody fought in front of Vince McMahon in his office. It was just so dumb, and because it's so just like, why is Vince sitting in his office during this? Like, he's not. Like, come on, guys. Like, this is so silly. But
going back to the Tom Segura thing, that's the beauty of wrestling, is that it is silly. And people who watch it know that it's silly. They're not expecting it to be serious. When you watch these two dudes fight in front of Vince McMahon in his office, you look at it and go, that is so dumb. But it makes so much sense, and I love it.
Well, yeah, didn't he stop him and tell him to get out of the office or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and again, this goes back to wrestling. Is not wrestling. It is sports entertainment. I mean, that's these events that WWE's been doing, the Boneyard match and this weird Money in the Bank concept. You know, this is entertainment. I think they're really pushing the boundaries of what wrestling can be as a medium.
Oh, I really enjoyed that Boneyard match. That was really fun. You know, it kind of covered up, you know, Taker's some of his weaknesses and things like that at his age and stuff. But it was really just, I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy the Funhouse one, whatever they called that one, with the Fiend.
With all the Cena weird segments in it. I mean, whereas John Cena did the word life, and I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
I think if they would have ran that match the first night, people would have enjoyed the Firefly Funhouse match a lot more than they did. I think the problem is that the Boneyard match was just so good that it creates the expectation of where do you go from here. So you really got to bring your A game if you're going to follow that match. That match probably should have been the main event of the entire WrestleMania weekend,
right?
And put the Firefly Funhouse match first, and people probably would have enjoyed that a lot more because it wasn't bad. It was good. It was fun to watch. It just wasn't the Boneyard match.
Yeah, it and was so, just a different concept, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
what were you guys' thoughts on the WrestleMania being 2 days, though? I really kind of liked that, man. So it was only like, you know, 4 hours at a shot, you know, each night instead of the, you know, with the pre-show and, you know, 6 hour wrestling card 7 hours later, man. It's like, that seems a little long for 1 day of wrestling anymore.
I just wish they wouldn't have such long effing shows. I get it's WrestleMania and you want to get as many people on the card as possible, but like, you could narrow it down. It, you know, it's been 3 hours for years. Like, go ahead, simmer down and just, I mean, do that many people need a payday? I mean, everybody's getting paid in general. I don't.
I ended up actually being okay with it. There was a point where I was sitting around thinking about it and I thought, 2 days of wrestling is a lot to invest into for WrestleMania. But on the same token, after I thought about it a little bit more, I spend most of my time consuming wrestling anyways. So really, what is adding another 4 hours to a Saturday? It's really nothing in the grand scheme of things. And I actually kind of liked the break because I think if you marathon 5-6 hours of WrestleMania in 1 day, it can be a lot. You marathon 3.5 hours, it's a fun little watch. So, and it was nice to just, I mean, obviously there couldn't be any WrestleMania parties or anything like that this year. So it was nice to just kind of sit in my room and have some beers and eat some food of whatever I wanted and just watch WrestleMania for a couple of days.
Yep. Just kick back and chill. What do you think wrestling's going to look like when we get to come back and see it live? Do you think it's going to be kind of smaller crowd first, or, you know?
Chris and I were actually talking about that this morning. I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think the business aspect of wrestling is going to change that much. I think for a while, sure, we'll probably see smaller audiences.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people are going to be so hot to watch live wrestling again, it might just be packed more than ever.
Well, and I think we'll see smaller audiences just because I think the ball's going to start rolling again during this phased reopening of the country. So we'll see smaller audiences by necessity. But like I was telling Chris this morning, we're a social creature, human beings, and we crave the ability to be around other people and to experience things. You know, it's just like a concert, right? Like, you can't have a social distance concert. You can't have social distance wrestling. When it comes back, people are going to want to be close to each other because that's how you experience things. Mm-hmm. It's the energy that, you know, there's a lot to be said for the energy that an audience gives the performers, but there's an equal amount to be said for what the energy the audience gives off to each other as well.
Oh, that's completely correct. When the audience is fired up, man, that, you know, that could just completely make a wrestling show, as we got one of those crowds that's just kind of sitting hemming and hawing the whole time. And then, you know, you guys aren't getting the energy off it either. So then maybe you guys aren't that full adrenaline push is going on for you guys.
Well, that's why these empty arena shows are so interesting. Cause it's drastically a different feeling, even from watching at home. You would think the live matches wouldn't change much, whether there's an audience or not, when you're sitting at home on your TV, but it really changes things. You know, I've been watching NXT and AEW just to see, you know, what's going on. But I recently watched CM Punk come out at Money in the Bank in Chicago in 2011. And I physically got goosebumps from the crowd reaction when his music hit. And I was like, okay, now it's different. It's 100% different.
Yeah, I think as we start to phase back into wrestling, it'll feel different for a little bit, but eventually everything's going to end up going back to normal. I think that's just human nature. You know, I think maybe the only difference is you'll see a lot more people wearing face masks in the crowd just to keep themselves safe. But I think people are going to pack arenas and venues the way that they were. I think they're going to want to be close to each other and experience wrestling together as a community, because at the end of the day, wrestling is just one giant community. I mean, we are as much the kids in the cafeteria sitting in the corner playing Dungeons and Dragons as we are people going to a Seahawks game. You know what I mean? Like, we have to experience that stuff with each other. This is our community. This is what we thrive on as fans. So it'll end up going back to the way it was. I think behind the scenes, like I said, I think the business is going to operate the same. I just think we're not going to be shaking hands as much. You know, and right now, like, that handshake is this time-honored tradition, and you get a lot of these older guys who, I could give a shit less about the fucking handshake. Like, to me, if you give me a head nod from across the room, that's fine with me. We don't have to shake hands. We don't have to shake hands at the beginning and at the end of the night either. Like, I'm going to see you next weekend, so it doesn't matter to me.
That's the most annoying part about it.
A lot of us guys who are in this time period now and are coming up now feel the same way. The handshake's just kind of a bullshit tradition that doesn't really matter anymore. It was founded and rooted off this thing that just doesn't exist. You don't have to shake hands to prove that you're safe with people anymore. And I think that's going to end up going away. And you know, hopefully if it does, you've got these old timers who go, oh, you're real stiff with that handshake, brother. You know, hopefully those guys, they can go, well, we're not allowed to shake hands anymore. Like, I think it's the perfect excuse for that. Listen, I don't want to shake your hand, not because I'm a stiff motherfucker, but because I don't want to catch the third incarnation of the coronavirus.
Oh, man, guys. Well, probably let you go here for the rest of the day. Get to what you guys are doing, man. Why don't you tell all the folks here how we can follow the Bash Brothers, get that merch, all that kind of good stuff.
Let's see if Chris knows where all of our social medias are at.
You're on the spot, Chris.
He doesn't.
I don't know.
He doesn't.
It's like Bash, because I believe our Twitch channel is Bash Bros Tag Team.
Uh-huh.
I believe our Pro Wrestling Tees store is Bash Brothers. Bash Bros.
Bash Bros. Yeah,
Bash Bros. Twitter, I don't know. You got to do it, dude. I don't remember all this stuff.
I handle all this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
I created it all. I handle it all. Chris is the creative brain. He comes up with the wacky shit for us. So you can follow us on Facebook follow our group. It's the Bash Brothers. Just type in facebook.com/groups/Bash Bros or the Bash Brothers. Sorry. Our Instagram, our Twitter, our Twitch is all Bash Bros Tag Team. Find us on Pro Wrestling Tees /Bash Bros. We've got the T Jump store, is what I think it is.
Teesprings?
No, it's not Teesprings. I think it's T Jump. This is the one that always gets me because there's so fucking many of them. Hold on. I'll find it. It's very easy for me to find. T Public. Yeah, tpublic.com/user/bash-bros. You can find our face mask, hoodies, stickers, magnets, cell phone cases, all there. And just, you know, we're pretty easy to find if you type in Bash Bros or Bash Brothers. We're the only two good looking dudes with our shirts off on there. So
that's right. We are.
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on this morning. Man, you guys, I can't wait to, you know, see wrestling. Can't wait to finally see you guys team up and start destroying your opponents.
Yep,
yeah,
for
you're
sure.
Not the only one.
All right, guys, you have a good rest of your day, and hopefully, well, we'll maybe talk to you sooner than we'll probably get to see you. So take
sounds
it easy.
Good, Lyle.
All right,
yeah, sounds good, man.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.